FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
Joining us once again on the Mark Cox Show. Hey, Kaylee, Tim Jones. I'm filling in for Mark today. Great to have you on again.
Hey, Tim. Great to join you.
Yeah, Kaylee, so you, I know you agree with the chairwoman there, the clip I played. Explain to our audience, Kaylee, why border security and having a secure border is national security.
Oh, it's of paramount importance, and that's exactly right. It is national security. You look at the fact that one of the groups being led to our southern border is being led by a suspected terrorist, an individual who waged an attack in Honduras and wounded 9 soldiers, American soldiers. So this is the kind of thing that tries to come across our border. In fact, it's 10 suspected or known terrorists a day that are apprehended by DHS that are stopped crossing the border, and that is the Department of Homeland Security statistics. So 10 per day, not per month, but per day. So while there are hardworking individuals who want to gain access to our country who might be legitimate asylum seekers, there is certainly a bad element among this group, and it's important to stop them, and you only stop them with a wall and with appropriate security.
Yeah, Kaylee, I think the whole world is waking up to this problem. I saw a Pew Research study, Pew of all people. You know, they don't tend to be the most conservative think tank in the world, but they released a study this week that said, you know, they did a survey of 27 major industrialized countries, and most of the folks there surveyed said they don't want any more. People do not want more unchecked, unmitigated, no rules applied immigration, because Kaylee, isn't the world showing us that that's a major problem? You know, whether it's the terrorism aspects happening in France, the UK, all these European countries who had unchecked, unmitigated immigration for decades with no rules or principles in place. I think now they're realizing the errors of their ways.
Exactly. You know, some of these countries, Germany comes to mind, have just really opened their borders and allowed an influx of illegal immigrants to come into the country. And it's highly problematic when you don't know the background of these individuals, when you don't know who they are, you don't have any documentation, and they are roving around the homeland unknown to authorities. It's a big problem, and it's why, you know, President Trump, another aspect of the immigration debate was that temporary travel pause he did from terror hotbed countries. People come, no documentation in their home country. And when you add an illegal contingency to that, people who are able to sneak in, it's a very, very scary scenario. And it's the president's job, first and foremost, as the chief executive, to protect the American people. That is at its base, the core of what the presidency is about. And that's what he's doing. And that's why he's threatening to shut down the government, because he wants to protect the American people. We have to have lawfulness instead of lawlessness.
So, Kaylee, there's a deadline coming up of next Friday, I believe, where some agencies of the government funding will temporarily cease if they don't resolve some of this. But could you explain first how this is really, even if the worst case scenario happens, this is not much of a shutdown, because Republicans did their job in passing so many appropriations bills that we never saw happen during the Obama years.
That's right. So we basically, what we did as a party, and I think it was pretty smart, is did a piecemeal funding of the government. So there were several spending bills that were passed and then signed into law. So that piecemeal approach allowed us to fund 75% of the government. Veterans Affairs is funded. Other key agencies funded as well, our military funded. So it's just 25% of the government that it would affect should a shutdown happen. And pay always comes retroactively to those 25% of employees who might be affected. So, you know, look, we don't want a shutdown. Of course, the president doesn't want one, but if it's, you know, comes down to it, and if it comes down to getting, you know, safety for our country or shutting down the government, he's willing to do that, because it is his last opportunity before Nancy Pelosi takes the gavel.
And Kaylee, I know that there's definitely this new breed of Democratic socialist. Ocasio-Cortez comes to mind. Bernie Sanders has been there for many years. He's been a socialist forever. But I would say, you know, most of the Democrats, and you can go back not too far and listen to Chuck Schumer's speeches on, and Hillary Clinton's on border security and the importance of that. So I think most Democrats do understand we need to have border security. But isn't this, Kaylee, really all about the fact that they don't want to give the president a win on anything, even if it's the best thing for America and our people?
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head that they don't want to give the president a political victory, be it with the border wall or immigration. He's put forward a very fair-minded compromise. He said, I'll give DACA recipients past legal legalization if in exchange I get the border wall funding, in exchange I get an end to the diversity visa lottery and chain migration. It was a fair deal, but they don't want to hand the president a win. And on a host of other issues, that will be something really interesting as we go into the new Congress, is are they willing to work in areas where there's overlap in our agendas, like paid family leave, bringing down the cost of prescription drugs. These are all areas, infrastructure, these are all areas we can work together, but you need a willing negotiating partner. And right now, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer don't seem to be in a negotiating posture because they don't want to deliver victories for the president.
Kaylee, the last thing I have for you was the massive hypocrisy I'm seeing these days out of the left on their... Every time a Republican doesn't say, or a conservative doesn't say the exact right thing about whatever the topic may be, they get immediately labeled with some sort of race, gender, sex, or class warfare label, sexist, misogynist, you're a xenophobe, you're a white nationalist, you're blah, blah, blah. But it seems that the left can attack people with abandon. And there's two things I wanted to bring to your attention. I saw you had put them up on your Twitter feed as well. You know, number one, the endless attacks on Melania Trump every time she dares to go on television to tell her side of the story or talk about anything. And then secondly, this brutal attack on Heather Nauert at the State Department. And it's because she's a journalist. I don't understand. It's unbelievable. You know, why isn't the left, you know, labeled as being sexist and misogynist for their unbelievable attacks on women, incredibly articulate, brilliant women who are running our government? It's just that they can't stand it, it seems.
That's right. They can't stand it. And there are attacks of any woman who is affiliated with the Trump administration, you know, Kellyanne Conway, Sarah Sanders. They've all endured these kind of sustained attacks that are unmerited. Heather Nauert as well. And the same people criticizing her, ironically, are kind of criticizing their own profession,
right,
aren't they?
Yes.
Exactly. So they're demeaning their own profession. So that's kind of an interesting side note. But with Melania as well, you know, they've attacked her immigration status, her Christmas decorations, her dress, her shoes, her son, her husband, of course. I mean, it's just a relentless onslaught of attacks. And, you know, she just holds her head high with dignity and grace and class and just moves forward and is very strong. And, you know, these women, you can't stop them. They're all very brilliant women, and the media can attack them. But I think the American people see these women for who they are, which is strong women who are fighting for the American people.
Kaylee, last thing I have, last question. The other thing, I think the misdirection in the media narrative is on the President Trump's next chief of staff. And the media's story is, oh, nobody wants the job. There's nobody to choose from. I'm seeing lots of great candidates out there, and a lot of well-known, incredibly brilliant people are I think, putting their name in it. So can you dispel that rumor? I think there's plenty of people who want to be considered, and the president's going to make he has a great crop to choose from as well.
Oh, that's right. I mean, there's, trust me, a long line for the job, one of the most important jobs in the nation. There's a very long line of people fighting for it, from Mark Meadows, who no longer is in the running, but who definitely put his name out there as wanting to do it. You know, Dave Bossi, Corey Lewandowski, Steve Mnuchin. I mean, the list goes on and on. So there are a ton of qualified candidates. And I think the president, he's trying to find the person that best fits with his agenda, someone who's on board with his agenda, and someone who, number one and first and foremost, is going to be loyal to the president. I think that's just at base what a chief of staff has to be. So he's looking for a lot of qualities, but you know, there's a ton of people in the running. Make no mistake about that.
Excellent. Kaylee McEnany. She's at Kaylee McEnany, KayleeMcEnany.com. Kaylee, if I don't speak to you before, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thanks for always being available to us every week here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you, Kaylee. Have a great day. That was Kaylee McEnany.
Get more at 971talk.com.